Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Special edition live Coast to Coast podcast here. Unannounced. I guess it was announced because Tommy posted it on the message boards. But, you know, we try to make sure that we're breaking news as best we can and giving you guys the quickest, best rundown of what's happening around Carolina basketball. So this is a special edition of the Coast to Coast podcast. I'm Joey Powell. We're brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt and our friends at Congruity. Sherelle McMillan has joined me. And Sherelle, I'm straight in from the ball field. I smell like fish tank rocks right now. I look like dust and run over butthole. But I am here with you to discuss a departure from UNC's rotation from this past year in basketball. As Seth Trimble, the sophomore from Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, it only took me 2 years to say that right, has decided to enter his name in the transfer portal and is heading elsewhere. And I think we knew, as we said on the show recently, you said that, you know, Seth Trimble would be one of those players that had a decision to make. So first things first, share your insight as to kind of how this all materialized and we got to a point to where Seth Trimble has decided to leave.
I think the first thing, Joey, I'm going to answer your question, but the first thing I think we should talk about is Seth Trimble as a player. And really, I don't like to do this, but as a person, I will
hate losing recuse, this kid, man.
Yeah, I will somewhat recuse myself because I do have a very good relationship with him and his family. And I do think he's a really great kid, the type that Heber Davis has talked about culture and fit over and over again. And I think Trimble kind of exemplifies that. So from that aspect, it definitely is a loss for UNC. And I think on the court, it's a loss for UNC because Trimble was a player who could have left last year. When Godot came in and then there was the whole thing with Wilcher, like he could have left and gone somewhere else, but he decided to stay to improve himself. And I think you saw with more playing time and with more work in the gym, he was a better player as a sophomore than he was a freshman. And it's, I think what's hurting Carolina fans a lot is that you kind of project that next season, another season of growth with his athleticism. And then we talked about the kind of kid he is with the culture fit and the willingness to do some things that maybe other people weren't. And you could see why it is it's a big loss to Carolina on the court and off it. I think why it happened. So I can say it's not because he didn't play in the second half against Alabama. So let's
hang on a second. Let's stop. I'm going to step on you because I want to stay with you and talk about Seth Trimble, the person, Seth Trimble, the player. I can absolutely understand the frustration from fans about losing him because, like you said, he's a bit of a legacy in the sense that his brother played at UNC, just an all around great kid that put in the work and was very, very much a good teammate. And yeah, like you said, when you first started and I stepped on you then, my bad. It's just it's hard to see good kids leave the program. It's hard to see good players that you enjoy to cover leaving the program. So yeah, I just wanted to echo that a little bit. I mean, it just, he's matured so much and became such a huge asset for this squad this past year. Just in 1 year from his freshman year to this year, you saw how valuable he was, to the point that in the Alabama game, people were, clamoring for why he wasn't playing the entire second half. So yeah, it's definitely a bit of a sting for IC subscribers and Tar Heel fans, because you don't want to see a player like this leave the family. Go ahead, please talk about how it developed. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I think what you said is 100% accurate. You know, I don't think, or I know that it wasn't because he set the second half in Alabama. It wasn't that everything was great and then Alabama happened and he's like, you know what, I'm leaving. Like, this stuff does take time. It does happen over time. Did that exacerbate it? Potentially. You know, I think that'll be an answer we'll try to get moving forward. But when you start to look at it at its simplest form, it's, you know, Seth wants to play point guard. He wants to be on the ball. And right now, Carolina kind of has a point guard entrenched in Elliott Cadeau, who, by all accounts, is returning for his sophomore season. So it's a situation where if Cadeau is going to get the minutes like he did at point guard last year, and there's the potential for RJ Davis to come back, he would get the minutes at the two, presumably. He's a Jerry West Award winner, first team All-American, ACC Player of the Year, go down the list. Then they have Ian Jackson coming in as well. It was kind of like, if the opportunity wasn't given to him now, would it come eventually? And I think that was the question that he and his family, you know, had for Hubert Davis and had for themselves. I think we talked about how the end of year meetings are, both sides try to be brutally honest. I think it's one of those things with Coach Smith back in the day. It was like, during the season, it's about the team. During the off season, it's about the individual. And so that's what those meetings were about, was, you know, what's the vision? I think both sides shared that, what their visions were. And usually when the visions don't align, that's when you get a player entering the transfer portal. And that's kind of where I think things are with Seth. Or obviously he entered the portal, so that's where things are with him.
I think it's important to remind people too, you know, if you look right now, if you go to 24/7's transfer portal page and see every single program is losing players like this. You saw Omar Ballo from Arizona enter his name. I mean, that guy was a starter, an upperclassman for one of the best teams in the country. I mean, this just, no one's impervious to this new age in Carolina basketball, or in college basketball. And Seth is doing what's best for him.
And I like that too. And Joey, I know people, it goes quickly to, well, I can't stay in the transfer portal and I can't right. stay in NIL.
It's easy to make the boogeyman. It's easy to have, you want something to transfer your anger and your frustration to. I get that. That's natural.
Right.
It's human.
But you can't say you dislike it when you love Harrison Ingram. You can't say you dislike it when you love Cormac Ryan. It goes both ways. And you're going to lose great kids and you're going to get great kids. And that's just kind of the way it goes. I think, you know, with Seth moving forward, he's going to have a lot of suitors. I think we know that, considering how he's improved each year. His pedigree coming out of high school. So, you know, there'll be a big market for him. And I think, you know, it's good that players have choice. You wouldn't, if you were in a relationship, Joey, and you saw that it probably wasn't going to go where you wanted it to go, why should you be forced to stay in that relationship? It might be amicable when you split. It might be like, you know what, this just isn't working. So why should you have to stay in that just because, like, I don't know, we have this idea that staying in it makes you tougher. No, sometimes staying in it doesn't let you reach your goals, and sometimes staying in it can make you miserable. I don't think that's necessarily the case with Seth about being miserable, but I think he wasn't going to be able to do what he wanted to do at UNC. And to his credit, he gave it two full years to try to get there. And once he saw that it probably wasn't going to happen the third year, then he moved on. And that's not anything against Hubert Davis, I think. I don't think it's anything against Carolina. It's just it's just one of those things. And it's just, folks have to wrap their head around college basketball, that now it is so much more transactional. That's the word I've heard from a lot of people. So much more transactional than it used to be. It was more of a, you know, let's talk about this type deal. But when you have options, which is a good thing, then you need to take care of those options and try to meet your goals. So I think that's where Seth is. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, he's moving on.
Another important thing for people to think about with Seth is, as a college player, even with even with the COVID year and with the transfer portal, you still have a finite amount of time to develop yourself, showcase yourself before you're mandated to take the next step to the next level. Like, you can make all the jokes about Armando Bacot, you know, being at UNC for a decade and a half, but truth of the matter is there is a final grain of sand in the hourglass for these kids. And, you know, for a player like Seth Trimble, like, if he's going to showcase himself enough to capitalize on his ambitions of making it to the next level, whether that be in the NBA, playing in Europe, what have you, he's got to get the playing time to showcase that. And he's got to be able to get playing time to develop himself in places that maybe he sees a need for development. And if that's not going to happen in North Carolina, no matter how much you enjoy the environment, love your teammates, you've got to kind of play the long game here. And I would caution everybody to, as much as you may not like the new era of basketball and the way it is, it just is what it is. And you saw that Seth Trimble had an incredible set of skills that's going to, as Sherrill mentioned, give him a lot of suitors. You know, I don't have any insights to where he's going to go, but I think right now, a kid from Wisconsin, knowing the way that Marquette plays, I could see him being a huge asset to Shaka Smart's roster. Knowing that, you know, Wisconsin plays in a league that doesn't like to score the ball, a player like Seth Trimble is going to absolutely be a terror playing half-court defense for somebody. So, and both of those schools are back home. I have no idea if he's talked to them. I have no idea if those schools are interested or even if they have a scholarship available. But Seth Trimble, in his limited minutes this year, showed that he is absolutely ready to be a major contributor and a major player, pardon the pun, in somebody's season. And just so happens that there's not enough minutes in North Carolina for him to get what he thinks he should get. And I think that's fair.
Right. And this may be semantics, depending on the way you look at it, but this wasn't a Hubert Davis decision. Like, he didn't go into the meeting and say, we don't want you at Carolina. That's not how this happened. Seth made a decision, a mature decision on his own, that he thought moving on was the best for him. And I think everyone can respect that when you feel like you're in a situation where you need to get better and it's not where you are, you can move on. I think everyone can respect that. So it's, I don't want people to think that, like, why didn't Hubert Davis try to keep him? Obviously, he did. I can share this now. I think it's been a year. But when the season ended last year, after the NIT and all that stuff, you know, we were sourcing information, trying to figure out who was what and what was going to happen. And pretty early on, we were told that there were a certain number of players. I won't give the number, but I'll say that Seth was one of them that was an absolute have-to-have back, you know, by any means necessary. And so it's not as if UNC didn't value him. I think maybe, again, how much they valued him and how much, you know, he valued what he did, and the gap in between those two things maybe is where the differences lay in the reason he's transferring. But again, that's kind of college basketball now. And I think moving it forward for UNC, as much as, you know, everyone likes Seth, Carolina now has an opportunity to change the roster. Improve maybe is difficult for me, considering what, you know, how I feel about what Seth brought, but improve / change the roster through the portal the same way that they did last year. You know, it takes players and it gives players too. So that's the good thing, I guess, about the portal.
I'll throw this out to you, Sherrill, before we start talking about what comes next at that position. For the folks that, you know, are frustrated about the situation, I understand the emotion. I would say if it goes farther than just a surface level emotion, I would ask this question: what could Hubert Davis or Seth Trimble, what should they have done differently? And I don't think there's an answer to that, right? Like, I don't think there's a realistic answer for that. And I think that's basically where folks should walk away. Like, it's just not, it can't work here. And if it can't work here, then, you know, everybody's got to do what's best for themselves. And so, again, real talk, Sherrill, I'm going to root like hell for that kid wherever he goes. I mean, like,
100%, yeah.
he could be wearing a, you know, ISIS Tech shirt next year, and I would have a hard time not pulling for him, because he's that good of a kid and that from that, you know, that nice of a family. And I didn't have half the role with them that you did, obviously. So, you mentioned it. And shout out to the 500 folks that are in here with us live tonight on a random Tuesday talking about, you know, North Carolina's first man off the bench, Seth Tremble, Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, departing the program. Appreciate all y'all being here. Sherelle, what's next? Right. Obviously, there is now a scholarship open that, that wasn't definitively open prior to today. So what do you think Hubert Davis's strategy may be moving toward or moving forward with having this scholarship available for Seth Tremble?
I'll answer that one second, but I see a comment I want to respond to. It says from Emery Ashley, it says, I get that this may be the best decision for Seth, but is this the best for UNC? Whether or not it's the best for UNC shouldn't factor into Seth's decision-making. Again, the offseason is about the player. In-season is about the team. And I think he held his end of the bargain up pretty good. So I don't think the two really mesh, like the question, whether those two are congruent, I don't think really matters. But as far as what's next, you know, I think we've shared on the premium board, for those who aren't subscribers, please go subscribe.
For those of you who aren't subscribers, for those of you who aren't subscribers but are in a live podcast talking about somebody entering the transfer portal, let's all take a second and judge those people silently. Okay, judgment over. Continue, sir.
Yeah, so we've shared kind of portal names to know or folks that they have contacted. And I think we'll see exactly what they want to do in the backcourt. Again, a lot of this hinges on what RJ Davis decides. Right now, as things stand, if RJ were to leave, then Elliot Godot, presuming he's back, which we think he is, and Ian Jackson would kind of be the only guards on the roster. I think Drake Powell could play some at the two, but that's a really thin backcourt. Now, if RJ Davis decides to return, then you have a situation where you're basically just subbing out Seth Tremble for Ian Jackson is from a rotation standpoint. Because last year, you know, there were three guards and they played almost 100% of the minutes. Not quite, but, you know, Wojcik played probably the first 8 or 9 games, pretty significant minutes, and then not much basically until Alabama.
Whenever it took Cadeau, essentially that was Wojcik's minutes.
Right. So it was Cadeau, Davis, and Tremble in the backcourt for the majority of time. So with no additions and presume RJ were to return, then you kind of have a similar three-guard rotation. Now, if Davis leaves, then obviously they're going to have to go into the portal and get a guard. I don't think we'll know the answer to that for a little bit. So that's kind of where things stand. I think we're still – a lot of stuff hinges on the overall roster on the decisions of Harrison Ingram and RJ Davis. So that's kind of where things stand. I would caution for those of you who don't normally listen to Coast to Coast, my favorite portal saying when it comes to UNC is that silence does not mean inaction. So they are doing stuff, just Hubert Davis and really going back to Roy Williams, they have decided or made a choice that they're going to operate very quietly and we'll find stuff out when we find stuff out. Now, part of our job is to find some of that stuff out. And I think we do a decent job of that, but we can't find out everything. So there are players more than likely outside of the ones that we've introduced as portal names to know that they are talking to. And as we're able to confirm that, we'll share it. But a lot going on, still some moving pieces, especially with RJ Davis and Harrison Ingram. And then with some of the names to know and whether or not those guys take visits and how quickly they want their recruitments to go. So a lot to be done. Important dates to remember, Joey, since, again, we're kind of going over everything. May 1st is when the transfer portal closes. So that does not mean that players who are entered have to make a decision by then. They just have to have their names into the portal by then. So that should be, if you're looking at this as kind of on a line, on a timeline, May 1st is the first time you should take a snapshot and say, okay, this might be what the Carolina roster looks like. Because then you'll know none of the undergraduates can transfer out. And they should be there. So that's the first step. After that, the NBA Combine and the G League Combine are in mid-May, the same week that coaches can be on the road for EYBL and Adidas and all the AAU tournaments. So that's another kind of moment in time, because if a player is in the draft and doesn't perform well at the Combine or the G League Combine, they have until the end of May to withdraw from the NBA draft, which is how Carolina got involved with players like Matthew Mayer from Baylor, Pete Nance, who ended up committing, Dawson Garcia, who ended up committing. All those guys had went through the pre-draft process and pulled their names out towards the end. So after, I guess, May 30th, there's another group of players who probably could become available. So they will entertain those. Then mid-June, when the second summer session starts, typically the
week after Father's Day,
that's when you can take another snapshot and say, all right, these 10 or 11 or 12 or however many guys it is are on campus. After that, it's not quite final because there are still some players who could enter because of coach firings or resignations or whatever. After that is basically fall class starts, and that is in late August. That's when we are 100% sure, no doubt about it, what the roster will look like. So each moment in time, May 1st, June 1st, let's just call it June 24th, those are the dates you need to look at to take snapshots.
That's and y'all, I would encourage you, as this drops to your podcast feed tomorrow, go back and listen to everything Sherelle just laid out. Obviously, we'll go over that 1,000 times over our next episodes of the Coast to Coast. But I want you guys to make sure you understand the timeline that Sherelle laid out, because I think it's important that everybody recognizes the kind of the watermarks that you have along the way. I made the joke, I guess on this show maybe a while back. I mean, you're looking at still probably another couple of weeks before you even know who all is going to be transferring because of when the portal closes. Keep in mind, y'all, the season just ended last night officially. So there's a lot of names that are still deciding whether or not they want to transfer, or if that's in the cards for them, and coaches' carousels are rotating and spinning, and John Calipari may have decided to get on another jet ski and go somewhere else. Who knows, right? So there's a lot of moving parts here. So as much as we're used to this instant gratification and knowing things immediately, hang tight, just be patient, and just wait and see. Sherelle's timeline is a great one, but definitely this is most likely not going to be a microwaved process if we've learned anything from how Hubert Davis and his staff like to operate. Also, shout out to the 617 of you that are with us right now.
I was going to say, Joey, I think we have good chemistry, so I hope you're following me here. But if you were John Calipari, you just got the job at Arkansas, and you wanted to kind of look at your organization and figure out, you know, what's best for it, what would you do?
I mean, the first thing I would do is I would sit down, make sure I've got a good internet connection, and I would go to Congruity HR and see what that website might be able to tell me as far as efficiency, availability, just kind of looking to see what they might be able to do to help my program. And I'm not sure if Congruity HR has a thing that's like, you know, Congruity HR / Tar Heels. I don't know if Congruity HR / Razorbacks or / Woo Pig Suey or / Tyson Chicken is good for me. I don't know if any of those things are real, but I do know that Congruity HR / Tar Heels is real. And if you are listening to this show, you should go check it out, especially if you own or operate a small or medium-sized business. Those guys will absolutely take care of you. They're going to help you understand where you may be able to optimize your organization. They might help you take a look at your roster, if you will, Sherelle, and see where your deficiencies may be, right? Then you could actually take another look and see, could we be better if we maybe had this player do these things and maybe had another player do things that are their strengths, so that I, the coach, could focus on coaching. Just saying. Congruity HR, big sponsor of this show. We appreciate them. We want you to hit them up too. Because if I'm John Calipari and I've got wheels down in Fayetteville, Arkansas right now, first off, it's head and shoulders below the best Fayetteville in the world, which is the one in North Carolina. But you know, you're in a second-rate Fayetteville. At least get yourself some first-rate HR guidance. And maybe they can take care of you. Sherelle, I love that, man. You set them up, I'll knock them down every time. So next phase, you know, you mentioned that UNC is moving slowly. I'll let you hit this before we get out of here. UNC moving slowly may seem slow to fans, But realistically, like, how long do these processes take? I think it's important to show, now that we've got 3 years of seeing how this transfer portal works, explain to people how long the process may take, whether a kid takes a visit or not, right? Like, all of the machinations and the movement that has to happen. Tell folks that just because they see such and such a name in the portal today doesn't mean that, you know, he's on UNC's campus tomorrow. Help them understand, on average, like, how North Carolina, what things have to happen.
I think it's a couple of things. It varies by player. Some players are on campus one day and committed the next. I think Paxton Wojcik, for example, we got wind that he was visiting. I think it was a Sunday afternoon, and Tuesday morning he has a commitment graphic up that he's going to UNC. So that one, even though we don't know exactly when he started talking to UNC, that one moved very, very quickly. I think there are some where they might have pro aspirations, like we mentioned before. They might be looking at other schools and might want to take visits. They might want to get to know the coaching staff a little bit better through multiple phone calls and Zoom calls and in-person meetings and all those good things. So some can last months, some can last a few days. And I think the UNC staff just has to, or what they've gotten good at, is making sure they know kind of what each player is looking for and then catering what they do towards that. The other thing is, you don't ever want to go too soon, but you don't want to wait too long. So trying to thread that needle between, you know, what's in the portal on March 31st might not be the best that's going to be in the portal, but you don't know that on March 31st. You think it might be the best, but there could be a name that comes out of left field all the way back to Dawson Garcia. And I know folks think that because of the way it ended with Dawson Garcia, that wasn't a home run for UNC. But that's the example I keep using, is because everybody was like, well, why isn't UNC using the last scholarship? And it's like, well, you just need to wait and see and keep your options open just in case an amazing player, you know, Joey Five-Star, who's a 6'7", 250, but can run a 4.240 and has a 49-inch vertical leap and shoots 50% from three, comes into the portal. If you have 13 scholarships and you've already taken, you know, Michael Lewis from you know, Terry Sanford High School, then you're in trouble.
Because Michael Lewis is boo-boo, but go ahead.
Well, he went to Terry Sanford, so
that's a good point. Fair enough.
Speaking of the real Fayetteville. So I think it's just a matter of threading that needle between making sure that you're on top of your targets and that you're being aggressive, but not too aggressive, just in case there's something, I hate to say better, but there's a superior player who enters later. So they're trying to manage all that. They're trying to manage now in this process agents, which weren't a thing, you know, for even 3 or 4 years ago. So they're managing agents. They're always managing families and friends. So it's a very complicated process, but one in which I think they've grown over the last 3 years and have a better understanding of kind of how to do things and how to put things together. And if you listen to Hubert Davis's comments, I think not maybe above all else, because you have to be able to play. Like Roy Williams would say, like, you can be a bum. You can't be a bum and come play at Carolina. But if you're talented and all things are equal, they're going to take the guy who fits better and who will engross himself, embed himself in the Carolina culture for however long he's there. And I think Harrison Ingram and Cormac Ryan and Paxton Wojcik and Jalen Withers have really even made that a stronger thing for Hubert Davis to look for, because he's talked about how important that was last year, how it's helped him, how it helped the team. So trying to measure all that, whether it's within 3 days or within 45 days, is what the coaching staff's doing now. Remember, last year, or the first few years of the portal, was 60 days. So even this year is condensed and truncated compared to what it was.
I also think it's important for folks to recognize, you know, Hubert Davis probably is going to take the chemistry that he had on this roster and try to replicate it as best he can. I think he realizes that he found his groove this year in the types of players that he brought in. And I don't mean skill sets, like Sherelle was saying. I mean, like, human beings and people off the court that fit this locker room and fit this culture. I think that he's probably going to try to stick with that recipe, because the soup was fairly good, if folks will remember. Aside of the wins and losses, this was a fun team that got along well and was incredibly coachable. Oh, and by the way, they had some success.
I mean, he literally said this team gave him faith that you know, you could still put together a college program. So
he could do it.
So to think that that's not going to have a major impact on the types of players and that they recruit in the portal moving forward, that would be unwise, because it's going to have a major impact.
Yep. So I would, all of those things I would file away as you're watching this. We know all of you in the chat right now will be following along. We appreciate y'all being here tonight. Sherelle, there's one thing I want to say before we get out of here. And this has been a special edition of the Coast to Coast podcast, talking about Seth Trimble entering the transfer portal. I'm going to bet before he leaves campus, Seth Trimble goes back to Johnny T-shirt. I mean, I would just assume that he goes back one more time and makes a huge clean sweep of their amazing, amazing selection of UNC swag and gear and memorabilia and what have you, because you're not going to find that anywhere else in America. Johnny T-shirt is one of a kind, just like Chapel Hill is one of a kind. JohnnyT-shirt.com, right there on East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. Baseball team has some home games coming up soon, so if you're around, maybe I'll run into you, because I'm absolutely a fiend for Johnny T. JohnnyT-shirt.com. Premium subscribers know you get that extra 10% off the top. Sherelle, we're going to land the plane in under 30 minutes tonight. I appreciate you being here. Seth Trimble departing Chapel Hill for a better situation for himself, and certainly he'll be missed, at least from our standpoint, because he was a fun cover, but hoping things go well for him in the future. We wish him all the best. Thanks to everybody for making us a part of your evening. If you joined us live on YouTube, or if you got us in your podcast feeds later on, we're appreciative of you being here. As always, we're brought to you by Congruity, Johnny T-shirt. For Sherelle McMillan, shout out to John Siegley for producing. I'm just Joey Powell. We'll talk to you next time on InsideCarolina.com.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.